Bench. The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Good Monday morning, everybody. John and Lance along with Dell, and off we go. And where were you guys for the greatest sporting event to ever take place in the history of sports yesterday?
Was it Disc Golf Championship, or is that Saturday?
No, you're partially right.
Well, so you're a golf event that no
oh,
one
you didn't.
Of.
Oh, nobody watched?
No, did they?
An 8-hole playoff between Harris English and Kramer Hickok?
No.
Okay. And those are real names. Those are not names.
Immediately, I'm like, okay.
That David made up.
Kramer Hickok.
Or Art.
Is clearly, or Tony. Tony makes up great.
Tony does too.
Tony makes up great Premier League names. Tony Hickok was related to.
Kramer Hickok.
Yeah, he's related to, little known fact, to Wild Bill Hickok.
He might have.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah.
They had it on the broadcast.
No, you didn't see the broadcast, so you don't even know. You didn't even know who he was until a second ago.
They had it on hole three of the playoffs.
Yeah. Listen, here's the deal. It was something special. 8-hole playoff. So it was, I mean, that was the sporting event. Yeah, well, great. The Bucks and Hawks, whatever. What else?
Astros. Oh,
the Tour de France falling all over each other.
The Astros playing down to the level of their competition.
They actually
this week.
Did this weekend. They sucked.
Where'd the bats go?
Mize is just too hard to hit. He has shut them down twice now.
I know.
What the hell? I know he's the number one overall pick. I get it. So he's supposed to be pretty good. But Soto, man, come on. Pick it up. Pick the offense up. And even I'm telling you, even McCullers win on Saturday, they didn't look. They looked
no. It's come from behind. The bats were quiet.
Yeah,
the bats were quiet. I don't want to have to play in doubleheaders. That's the first doubleheader.
Well, that was
for
a bad.
Time.
That was a bad thing. Yeah, only getting seven innings too. And once you're behind, and it's Fromber versus Mize,
was supposed to be McCullers Mize. No. It was always going to be Fromber.
It was
going to
be Fromber, but I don't think it was going to be Mize. I think it was Peralta that day. Or I think they might have
maybe
flipped.
So.
They might have flipped.
Maybe they flipped theirs, or they stayed on task. I don't know. But Fromber was okay. He was okay. Good enough to win if the regular bats show up, just the average bats show up. But the Astros had some trouble hitting Detroit over the weekend. So it ended up going 2-2. But expected the Astros to do a little more. Frankly, on the heater,
exactly what playing down to the competition is. Yeah. What they did this weekend, they won. They won big on Thursday night, and then they didn't pick it up. That's just a weekend. It's just a weekend in 162 games, but it was it wasn't good. It wasn't good. You know, there's such a difference with that. When this team, when it's not hitting. Boy, it just looks like, but that's everybody. That's every team, every game. It was good pitcher's duel, but you would think that they would have come up with some clutch hit at some point. They just couldn't. They had plenty of men on base. I thought Yuli with first and third and nobody out, and Yuli just watching six pitches and three of them right down the middle was set the whole tone for that game on Saturday.
Yeah, they lacked aggressiveness.
Yeah.
And it was weird because they've been jumping on that. For Yuli, that at-bat in particular was, it just felt like he was just getting too fine with his plate coverage because Yuli's at his best when he is, I'm not just going to say hacking. I mean, I'd much rather have a team that's discerning from a strike zone standpoint, but they just didn't come in with that same early aggressiveness in their at-bats, and they got into a kind of a funk. And Detroit, let's face it, Detroit ended up, at least a couple of the pitchers were much, much better than what they saw from the Orioles. So, you know, that was certainly the case. And yesterday they got a solid performance from Skubal, who was, I mean, he's the guy with major league experience who had been a 17 game winner at one. Do you realize that in 14 he won 17 games? But he was like, this year he had one start before this last game. I think it was Skubal. Maybe it's no. I'm thinking of the guy that pitched the other day. It's not Skubal. In 14, he would have been 17 years old. That would have been a hell of a job by him.
Mm-hmm.
No, I'm thinking of I think Peralta is who I was thinking.
Well, he
of.
Only went two and a two and two thirds. Yeah, he was not, an opener. That's
he
all.
Was, that's all he was.
Yeah, he was just an opener. But it is. That's just. I don't know. I just wanted to beat AJ's ass. If you want to know the truth, I wanted to tell
Whoa.
Him. Yeah, I did. I'm sorry.
Well, so
after he came in here and swept the Astros, and then you know that team sucks. That team just sucks. And AJ's just managing his ass off with a squeeze bunt to win the flipping game at the end. How about if you manage in Game 7 like you did yesterday, AJ? How about if you did that?
Well, Astros have kind of a cruise control situation, except when it came to any time the playoffs rolled around and the bullpen was involved, it became like in 17, there was AJ had no moves. Every move he went to wouldn't work.
Yeah.
And he's like, I don't know what else I can do. Just start throwing starters at this. He there were no moves he could make. But relatively speaking, it was like
he had the game plan. Cole was sitting in the bullpen. He had the game plan, all right. And he decided not to use it in 19.
Yeah, no, we know that one. That was a big screw up. But Dad AJ, our old baseball dad, got a little measure of not revenge. I mean, they did well against the Astros last time out, but certainly I was expecting at least 3 or 4 with the possible sweep, and that didn't materialize. It could have, but you know, they were also down when they got the win in the McCullers game too. So it's not like, you know, it's not like things just didn't break your way yesterday. You had to wait forever. You had lots of opportunities where you could have got runs in any of those innings, and you couldn't do it. Bullpen hung in okay. other than Christian Javier, who randomly had a real bout with some control, walked 4, and it was not Javier-like.
No, he didn't.
He
look
gave
good.
Up the earned run yesterday.
Yeah, he didn't look good. He didn't look good at all. And then Raley comes in and gives up. You know, sure, he did nothing against his earned run average, but first guy, bam, base hit. They're tied. It's like, oh my goodness. Listen, once they Astros pick up Scherzer, that bullpen is just going to get deeper and deeper and deeper with starters in there, and it's going to be a nice run. As soon as they pick up Scherzer, you watch how this whole thing and that ladder all roll into a nice place. As soon as that happens, did you happen to see the injury by Josh Naylor? The Indian?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
That was nasty.
So the Indians are coming here this week. They've lost their
Cleveland baseball team.
No, they're the Indians. They're still the Indians.
No, they're still the Indians.
It's not the Washington. This isn't
it's
Washington.
The Cleveland baseball
this
team.
This isn't the Redskins. This is the Indians.
You're not going to just say CBT?
No.
Cleveland baseball team?
No, I'm not going to say Cleveland baseball team. I'm going to say the Cleveland Indians, and they are. I know that they don't have
Roger,
Chief Pocahontas on their.
It wasn't Chief Pocahontas.
What is
who
it?
Who are you, Donald Trump, talking about Elizabeth Warren? No, it's
the big
Chief Wahoo.
Chief
the
Wahoo.
Guy with the teeth like this?
Yeah, and the giant red face. Yes.
Yeah. Well, I don't know why.
Well, they had that.
Why was that in any way? Why was that harmful to anyone?
The Washington Redskins. Okay, I get the name Redskins. Their mascot was always just pretty, down the middle of the fairway.
Pretty cool, actually.
The Indians have had some like which cartoon did you get that off of from the 40s?
But they lost their top 3 starters. They lost Naylor as well. That was the ugly. Oh my God, his leg. If you get it, don't look at it.
If you get a chance, don't.
If you get a chance, don't look at that. All right. So the Indians are coming here, and I'm glad they're awfully depleted. But again, the Astros have to not play down to their competition. So in the last so far, they've done that. They've not played down to their competition once, and that was the Orioles series. Other than that, and now the Orioles are coming back. Hopefully they keep on kicking their ass. That'd be nice if that happens. So the Orioles are here this week, and so are the Indians, and they're depleted. So the Astros baseball, 7 games again this week. And, you know, everybody, the starter's still looking good. How about 7 Astros are finalists to start in the All-Star game, including Maldonado, which is a bit odd, I think. Man, the catcher position must not be all that.
We've got some great home box, field
box stuffers.
Well, that's, and you know, it wouldn't shock me if Astros fans basically, as an FU to the whole league and every fan base and all of baseball, said we're going to make sure that we get on and vote as much as possible en masse with voting campaigns just to stick it to baseball.
Or
and obviously in place, but you don't even have to go to games to vote.
No, and you know, maybe Raheel figured out some way to finesse the game and was able to stuff the boxes, you know, at some computer program.
Why would Raheel do that?
He doesn't strike me as a computer pro.
I always went to Raheel when
because you saw a brown face to your left, and you're like,
I thought
hey,
he was just kind of
help me out, brown.
I didn't
brown
strike
guy.
Me as an IT type coding type guy. He was more just. Knew about the
stream.
Latest stuff.
Well, he knew how to stream
stuff for
free.
He had to get illegal streams. Yeah,
he could get illegal streams. I'm sure he can somehow find a way to override their program and just stuff the boxes with Astros.
Well, he's not going to do that for the Astros.
Yeah, he might.
He doesn't care.
You don't know.
He doesn't
care.
He
loves
his
Astros.
Yeah, but he didn't care enough to do something illegal for them.
Well, okay. It might have been his brother or his sister.
His brother's an established dentist, and his sister's a dumb one, remember?
Oh, yeah. But you don't know. She could be very smart in the ways of technology.
You mean the same woman he told us didn't know which airport she was landing at?
Yeah, which she was taking off from.
Yeah, or whatever.
Yeah. he went to throw her to the wrong airport.
Because she didn't know.
She didn't know.
That's always good. It's always good for the trip.
Yeah. No, that's a great way to start.
I've left clothes on an airplane in New York and had to go back at midnight to LaGuardia. That wasn't great, but going to the wrong airport is...
That's the worst.
It makes it even tougher.
Yeah, no, that's the worst. You're at the airport and you go, oh, actually, I'm out of hobby today. Anyway, so just getting it started. If you got any thoughts about this weekend, you're more than welcome. I've got a question for you on the other side.
Yes.
What move last night actually could affect the Houston Rockets directly?
Okay.
Directly. What move do you think that is? We'll find out on the other side right here on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. But right now I'm talking about Jeff Aronoff over at Absolute Marble and Granite. Jeff Aronoff is spectacular. And, you know, we talk about, you know, the outdoor kitchen, the outdoor patio, the inside, outside. It just doesn't matter. Do you have... If you're down to just studs, or you're building your house and you want Jeff to help you pick out the countertops, and he, because this is what he does every day, pick it out and install, or whatever it is that you need. He does entire apartment buildings with the vanities or the countertops for the kitchens or whatever the big job is. And it can't be a little, it's got to be something that is huge. It's got to really change the entire face, the entire look. The entire remodel. He put in the bar at Damaris Barbecue, and it is spectacular, and it will be there forever. It ain't going anywhere. Marble, granite, stone, it all makes it look all so good. And if you've got a big remodeling job that you have to do to improve the value of your home or your business, give Jeff a call. Let him come. He can break it down. He can architect. He can do it all. Right now at 713-880-2822, 713-880-2822. It's Absolute Marble and Granite.
This is ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN. Was that Sully? That was Sully?
Yeah.
He finished the conversation with, love you too. So I figured it had to be Sully.
The wife's up in a rear. She's not... doing a workout in the morning at 5:30 or running 10 miles randomly.
Lazy.
Yesterday,
so she didn't do anything? She's not doing anything this morning?
Yesterday, she went on like a lazy 3.5-hour hike in 100-degree heat. No big deal.
That's the best. That's the best. I did that too.
2-hour back.
Oh, no, that's right. I played poker till about 3:30 in the morning.
I played disc golf. That's my new thing, disc golf. I'm going to be that guy.
How will Dell, how will Lance hurt himself throwing a frisbee into a net.
You could hurt your back.
Okay. How are you going to hurt? Why?
They're chains.
Because the frisbee's too heavy?
No, just torquing it like Tiger Woods. How did Tiger Woods always get hurt? Ooh, look at me. I hurt myself playing golf. What? Who hurts himself playing golf?
Oh, my gosh. A lot of guys hurt.
Apparently.
Billy Ray Brown, his whole career was over because of his wrist.
I don't want to hear it then. Okay. If you hurt yourself golfing or bowling, that's no good.
How will Lance hurt himself playing disc
not
golf?
Going to.
Golf
not going
disc?
To.
What is it called?
It's disc golf.
Disc golf? Frisbee?
Frisbee golf is what you call it if you're an amateur. If you're one of
if you're on
the like
amateur
us,
tour?
Yeah, if you're one of the people like us who've got an app, then it's disc golf.
Uh-huh, because they can't use the
we
name
got an
Frisbee,
app. It,
that's why.
It shows you where
only
to
because
go
they can't
hole.
Use the name Frisbee.
Probably.
Yeah.
Well, they're smaller.
It is? It's
yeah,
smaller?
They're smaller, too. They're like
Frisbee
that.
Makes them all sizes, bro.
Yeah, they're this big. Probably because somebody said, you don't get a... We call everything a Frisbee, and it's not even a... It's,
well, they
it's
call
like
them
Coke
Kleenex. And, yeah. They call them Cokes.
Right.
They call them right.
Yeah.
Right.
Exactly.
Because that's the name brand.
I didn't realize there was a whole underground. I don't want to take up all the time coming off a weekend like it, but I didn't... There's a whole underground thing. It's people play for money, big tournaments. I didn't realize it was that big a deal, like across the nation. I had no idea. I did know the Astros had been hitting and didn't hit as well, so we saw that. They only won 2-4 against the the starting pitching wasn't that bad. That wasn't really a problem at all. It was just the hitting just went silent this weekend for a couple of games. So
I don't like quality starts.
The 7-inning game does not work well for it works well for the Astros from the standpoint of the starting pitching is more important and the bullpen less important. And you know, with the Astros, they have some really, really good starting pitching right now. But the more innings you give the Astros bats, they're going to eventually get you in. So when you have that 7-inning, it's just, you know, I think it's I don't know if it's to the advantage or the disadvantage. Probably neither with the Astros. It's probably just kind of a standard thing.
Yeah,
I don't know. It didn't seem like a huge advantage this weekend.
As Baggy put it, it's just baseball. You know, sometimes you hit a guy, sometimes you don't. It's stuff happens. That's all. And stuff didn't happen for him this weekend. They didn't look great.
And what happened for the Rockets?
So,
obviously, it's a side door thing because the Rockets, nothing came out about the Rockets this weekend.
No, something came out this weekend about Dennis Lindsay. Dennis Lindsay is stepping down as executive vice president of basketball operations for the Utah Jazz, and he's moving into an advisory role for the franchise. And here was his quote. In recent years, I've had conversations with the Miller family and then Ryan Smith when he came on board about moving into an advisory role. Here is the sentence that it convinces me that Dennis Lindsay is on the move here. This is an appropriate time to make the transition with the organization on solid footing. I look forward to making contributions to the Jazz in a different way while enjoying more time with my wife, Becky, and our four children. What did Daryl Morey say when he was walking out the door?
Yeah. He talked about doing stuff with his kids. Or
I need to spend more time.
But he didn't say he
and
was
And then gonna, a week later.
But he wasn't in an advisory role at the Rockets.
No, he wasn't in an advisory role. But he said, I need to spend more time with my kids. Translation, I'm moving to the Houston Rockets and I'm taking over.
You mean the Sixers?
Well, I'm Dennis Lindsay's
I don't know. Translation it bothers me that he's still mentioning the Jazz and he's still in a role that would advisory role could mean I have a certain amount of time left on a contract. That's probably what it. Well, if he wants to leave, then advisory role is I'm going to stay here until my contract's up. Because you can't just step down and take over another team. No one's going to let you do that. And if he's stepping down, that means his contract. I'll try to see if I can find out something about his contract. But there have been rumors that the Rockets would have some interest in Dennis, and Dennis might have an interest in coming back to the Houston Rockets. It was an organization. I think Dennis is just a tremendous potential general manager. He was a guy that I really wanted before Morey got the gig. And, you know, I think Morey did a great job, and Dennis said he learned a lot from Morey. But I remember having a conversation with Dennis Lindsay about when he went to the San Antonio Spurs, when he first got the Jazz gig, and we were talking a little bit about San Antonio and did, you know, about his time in Houston. And he said, I had a chance to learn under Rudy T, Jeff Van Gundy, and Daryl Morey. three very, very different approaches. Then I went and got to learn under Greg Popovich and R.C. Buford, who have some differences. He said that amount of knowledge was unbelievable. And I know Ballard told me the best thing that ever happened to him was leaving Chicago, where he learned one way, and then going and learning Andy Reid's way, and then also John Dorsey's way, which were they were also a little bit different. The Green Bay way, and then Andy was kind of from Green Bay. I mean, originally from Green Bay, but Andy has his own way of doing things. And when you have the ability to take in knowledge from that many places, and now he did it himself with the Jazz, I think that would be incredible. If Tillman Fertitta, you want to talk about something that could get the Fertittas back on track? That whole thing, I saw the video of him getting booed in Toyota Center. Boy, that is a bad look. That was a really bad look at the Jamal Charlo fight, the championship fight. They're showing everybody. Everyone's getting cheered. And as soon as Tillman Fertitta's shown, it's just a bunch of boos. I know Rocket fans are not happy with them, with the way that they perceive, you know, he kind of broke up the team. And I think a lot of those places, a lot of those pieces were going to fall the way they fell. That was just the way it was going to happen. But I think that organization would be wise. And this is no disrespect intended, at least intended for Rafael Stone. He may not take it as such. But I just think Dennis Lindsay is a guy who he has a history in the city. I know about what I know how good he is. Look at what he's done with the Jazz in terms of building them up. I just think Dennis Lindsay would be the right guy to try to build from scratch, because that's what you're doing, in essence. You're building from scratch. And the sooner the better. I just don't know what we're going to see from a contract standpoint with Dennis in Utah. And is this a situation where he finally just says, look, I want to stop? Just so you know, Dennis played basketball at Brazoswood, played basketball at Baylor, and then started up right after the championship year, started up with the he was doing film. He was one of the guys in charge of the film room, basically, for the Houston Rockets. That's kind of that's where you start. You know, you start there and you move up, and that's so Dennis worked his way up from the bottom all the way up to the top, and he's just been and I've been lucky enough to talk to him over the years and get some insight into Tracy McGrady, into Yao, into the situation with Jeff Van Gundy. For example, Jeff Van Gundy and Les Alexander, they always, like, Jeff just wanted Les to say that he wanted Jeff to be there. Les just wanted Jeff to say he wanted to be there. And then the two were too hard-headed, and then it just ended up where Van Gundy just ended up going. I mean, Les ended up just saying, okay, well, I guess
this
is what
it is. Yeah, but Jeff said he had done some stuff wrong, especially not giving the time to the owner that he should have.
No, Jeff knows that. Yeah. But that still could have been a thing where Jeff would have still been around, but he knows he handled that wrong.
Yep. So I don't know. It sure would be nice to have nothing against Rafael Stone.
I can tell you if Dennis Lindsay were
Dennis
to come
Lindsay's
back,
done a really nice job putting that Jazz team together.
Really nice. If Dennis Lindsay were to come back, I wouldn't completely rule out Jeff Van Gundy Part 2 in the future. I wouldn't completely rule it out. I don't think Jeff was ever going to take any job.
How many dudes' jobs you trying to give away? Trying to give Rafael Stone's job away? Trying to give Steven Silas' job away?
We're adding to.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Steven Silas can still be there
in an advisory role.
When you say no offense to Rafael Stone, it makes it sound like Dennis Lindsay will be taken over as a head man, and Rafael will go back to whatever he was before.
Oh, no, Rafael won't be here. Yeah, or he'll leave. Would be here anymore.
Or he'll leave.
Well, why not? Well,
because you don't have somebody who wants your job or has been in your job, you usually don't keep them because you don't know if they're on
board. Yeah, but sometimes. And now, sometimes guys stay in organizations and move around.
I don't know of any time where a guy who's – Rafael's not considered interim. He's considered GM. I can't think of a time where a guy who is a full-time head coach or full-time GM just went back to a subservient role in the same organization. It's just – I don't know.
It has happened. It has happened before. Guys just stay in. Regardless.
On one hand?
Regardless.
Maybe?
Yeah, but regardless, if he did, he didn't stay, whatever the case may be. You know,
of course,
You know what? This may be a time when you got to have somebody like Dennis Lindsay is a proven winner. Dennis Lindsay is a proven evaluator.
Dennis has gone through this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, he has just a lot more skins in the game than Rafael Stone does. That's right. All. That's, once again, I don't know what kind of GM Rafael Stone is going to be. I just know that if you had a chance to get somebody who has a history of doing something and you're in the Rockets position, which is not good. Like, it's not a bad place in terms of you have it out in front of you. I mean, you got some draft picks coming. The Texans were the worst situation I'd ever seen. A roster devoid of talent and no first or second round picks for a couple of years. That was really, really bad. And trading away your core players. Dennis Lindsay stepping into a situation where, okay, you've got a player who can, a 21-10 type guy. And once again, I don't know that Dennis Lindsay's stepping into anything. He's probably not. But if he did, that guy, at worst case scenario, Christian Wood is a good trade piece. At worst case scenario.
Mm-hmm.
At worst case scenario, you got a lottery. You got the number two pick. At worst case scenario, you got multiple first round picks coming in over the next few years. I don't think the Rockets situation is a bad future situation. It's just bad right now. And what's going to be interesting is if Paul Silas can, or if Steven Silas can withstand a second year under the Rockets with Tillman Fertitta. Is Tillman going to have patience, or is Tillman just going to, because Tillman strikes me as a guy that might be willing to make moves quickly if he doesn't like the way things are going and he doesn't see people in the stands and stuff like that. I mean, Tillman's a businessman who looks at the bottom line, and I don't know that a 3 or 4 year plan is something that he's always going to buy into. He strikes me as a guy who could be getting rid of guys after 2 years.
Mm-hmm. All right, it's 728 ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. I mean, can they be any dumber? Can this organization be dumber? The dumbest organization got dumber this weekend. We will talk about it on the other side. Right now, though, Chastang Ford is what. How about the smartest organization? How about the people that care about the people more? This organization, I swear, Patrick Chastang, you said one thing I want you to tell everybody: no dealer add-ons, because this is standard operating procedure in the industry. It's we got to get you in here so that we can upsell you. We got to make sure that we sell as much as possible. We got to gouge as much as we possibly can out of you. That's simply not the case at Chastang Ford. They're just like, where do you have to be in your payments, and what do you want in your vehicle? And then we're not going to sell you that bed liner or the window tints or the sunroof or whatever. You know what? You get the vehicle the way that you want the vehicle. You get the best vehicle that you can. If you haven't seen the Ford F-150, it is spectacular, people. The 21 is the nicest truck that I've ever ridden in. And I got a chance to ride in it when it first came out. But we're not going to kill you with dealer add-ons. We're just not. We just want you to be the most satisfied customer, and then we'll take care of you after that. We are all in this together. You are part of the Chastang family. If you're looking for that kind of dealership, they promise that that's how they're going to do it every single time. All you got to do is get to ChastangFord.com, or you can get over to the dealership. It's on 610 at Homestead, not Hempstead, just 5 minutes from downtown. You'll love being part of the Chastang family.
You going to answer that?
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. The Affordable Care Act continues to be a complex regulation, and employers must comply. Visit HRP.net for help.
You confess it, but it will not come. You can test it.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
But, did y'all watch Texas lose that game? That was a heartbreaker.
Yeah, I did, but my wife was complaining, like, she says, you didn't even watch the second. What? You didn't watch literally one pitch of the Longhorns. Stop getting so upset over a loss.
Well, they weren't back. No, that's not true.
They're in the back in the College World Series semifinals.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were back.
They were back.
Okay, but that wasn't really the story. Yeah, Texas lost, and actually that's a story to Longhorn fans. The story, though, for everyone else.
Well, I was just setting up.
Oh, okay.
I was just setting
down.
Tell
people what happened.
So, at 2 o'clock in the morning, the NCAA comes out and says NC State will not play in their semifinal championship against Vanderbilt because they had 6 players who tested positive for COVID.
Which
4 of them were vaccinated.
Basically eliminated the whole team, or enough of the team, because of protocol.
Right. And but the others were fine.
Well, they played in the first game.
Right, they played the first game. They were going to play one final game, an elimination game.
Mm-hmm.
on Saturday, and instead the NCAA decided to eliminate them. So what do you see on Saturday night? 25,000 fans there. You see Texas and Mississippi State playing each other. And you're like, wait a minute. Did you test all those people in those stands? What? How is it? And four vaccinated players can't play? Why do you think they got vaccinated? This very reason.
Well, who had NC State played in that late game?
Vandy.
Yeah, but they played Vandy first. And right. They said, I'm sorry, is Vandy out too?
Yeah.
Because the players, if any one of those on base at all, they're in a proximity. So, but it was really the way that it I'm not going to say
they came with their decision at about 1:30 in the morning here.
It isn't necessarily arbitrary, because the way I heard it explained was, look, these rules were in place. You're asking us to change the rules that were already in place. We're following the rules that were in place that everyone knew about. But this just goes to show, I can't wait for this to be done after this year, because, you know, when you get vaccinated, it is, like Chris Paul talked about, I didn't have any, he said, I had some runny nose or whatever, and that was it. I was completely asymptomatic. And
he doesn't look like it since he's been back.
Well, he actually was pretty good last game. The first game back wasn't great. Last game, he was actually okay. He missed some, I thought he looked pretty good. The shooting wasn't as great.
Shooting sucks.
He was much better in the second half. But I thought his game looked good. He played 39 minutes his first game back.
Did anybody shoot good in that game?
No, he was out for 11 days, too.
Yeah,
I don't think that had anything to do with COVID. I think it has to do with rust and not playing ball. Although he said all he did was pick up the ball and shoot in his driveway.
He was 6 for 22, and you thought he played well?
On the last game, game four?
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought he played okay. There was a lot of, I mean, his misses were
7 assists, 4 turnovers, 6 for 22. No,
did you didn't watch
the
game?
Yeah, I watched a lot. Yeah,
I thought Chris Paul played fine. You had guys missing. He probably had 9 setup assists that were missed wide open shots. Chris Paul had in and out. He had an in and out 3, 2 in and out 2s from the elbow, could get his shot whenever he wanted, was good off the screen roll. I didn't think Chris Paul was bad at all. As a matter of fact, I thought his statistics were not very.
I'm going to go on the record and say I didn't think anybody was good in that game. But okay, all right. That was the worst. That was the worst shooting performance in an NBA since the 80s.
The second half was just
since the mid 90s.
Well, and the Clippers were just terrible. They pulled the Hawks in the fourth quarter last night. Yeah. Hawks were terrible. 17th in the fourth, and Milwaukee goes on the road to beat them. It's P.J. Tucker versus Chris Paul in a battle of the X-Rockets. That's what you need to know. Milwaukee's got a 2-1 lead. Milwaukee's going to close this thing out pretty quickly. I think the Suns are going to win in five. They'll win at 4-1. And then we'll have Chris Paul versus P.J. Tucker. But
back to the NCAA.
Yeah, back to
how about – okay, I guess the rules were in place, but how about making an adjustment? You got the two guys that weren't vaccinated, sorry. You guys, we don't want to risk your life. You guys are going to have to go and get your hearts checked out. You guys have COVID. The four guys that have been vaccinated, what are your symptoms? And you know what? You guys got to stay away from everybody in the dugout and just go out and play. The two guys that weren't vaccinated, you didn't get vaccinated. That's on you, okay? And anybody else that didn't get vaccinated, then that's on them. That's around the guys that have been vaccinated.
Yeah, it really should be. If you've been vaccinated, you don't have to sit out.
Right.
If you do, you have protocol.
Yes.
Just to be safe. You know, I mean, if that's the rule, then that's the rule. But once again, I don't think you can change in midstream, because then Vanderbilt has legitimate beef where they can say, hey, we've done what we were supposed to do, and now you're letting them through. But what you could have done is talk to Vanderbilt and say, all right, what do you guys think? You've already played them. Are you willing to play? Maybe those it's just too tricky. It's tough.
See, what the thing was, they played at NC State in the first game, only had available 13 players. Because the rest were in protocols, so they entered. Now they were the team entering with no losses. Vandy had to beat them twice, and that's why
they
were
going to play again. Game.
So, but they entered that semifinal only with, they can only play 13 guys. I think they had like 4 pitchers. So it may have been a case, because of all these guys are in protocol, that they wouldn't have had the pitchers available unless they took those guys out of protocol. So there was some roster issues as well. But you look at how the NCAA is consistent. You know what the SEC's rule is going to be for football this year?
if you get up to 85% of your team vaccinated, you don't have to test anymore. That'll be the SC rule. Like, no testing if your team is 85% vaccinated.
So you know what coaches are going to do? You know what coaches are going to do? Get tested. And oh, by the way, but here's the deal. If it's so dangerous, why are you letting 25,000 fans in?
Do they pay money, John, to sit in those seats?
Okay, that's the NCAA. NCAA is collecting money for those seats. So we got to make sure we got our TV money, but we didn't lose that game. Sorry, ESPN.
Their problem is they have precedent. I mean, the bottom line is, yeah, I think people would have been fine. I think, you know, from what I've read, if you have the vaccine, you're not likely to spread COVID. So, I don't know which players had it, which didn't, and all that stuff. But I just know that the problem is you've already set precedent. You can't just start changing how you're going to do it in midstream. But it is a bad look that one of your best teams is just out like that. But but I have to say, in the Euros, in the soccer championships right now, there are players sitting out who've tested positive for COVID. France has three or four missing right now. And so those are, I don't know if they're in protocol or if they tested positive. I haven't seen, but there's different teams that have guys who are missing now because of COVID. So they still are, it's still going on in some major champions. You know, the Euros are considered as big as the College World Series, I can tell you that, certainly in Europe. And I just cannot wait until the next sports season starts, because this will all be behind us. Either, you know, you get COVID and get sick, whatever. It's just no mean to, you know, sorry, but either you get it or you don't. Makes it doesn't sense. Matter. It's your choice. But if if these leagues, which are professional leagues, have a business model that declares this, that you need to be vaccinated, or you have to fall into the category of these of this protocol, which is what's happening in football. Well, they're also a professional business. They have the right to do the same way we talked about the Colin Kaepernick, where people didn't have to hire Colin Kaepernick if they didn't want to, whether you think he was blackballed or not. It's the same situation here, where A company, a business has the right to do business the way that they want. And in this case, it's the NFL. Well, says, have you gone through all the, you've seen it, what?
The protocols? Yeah.
They're substantially
different. Yeah, night and day with vaccinated and not vaccinated. But here's the deal. If you're so worried about these kids, why do you have all of those people in the stands?
Why are you asking this question? Why?
I want to know why you're so worried.
They don't care
about the spread of it, and you let 25,000 unvaccinated, unmasked people in the stands. How do you know that those kids from NC State didn't get it from somebody they had contact with that they really couldn't even help having contact with?
I don't think they could. They don't have say-so. That's a state thing. NCAA doesn't have say-so.
NCAA could say nobody's showing up at our event.
Can they do that in the state of Nebraska?
Yes.
Oklahoma. Nebraska.
Nebraska. Yes. They could absolutely say no one's coming. No one's going.
You sure?
Yeah, just don't sell tickets.
It's their event.
It's their event.
You don't have to have anybody there.
But it's a state, but the states control this.
It's their event.
You could have a party
and no one go to it.
I didn't ask you.
So now the Open Championship, which is really the British Open for everybody out there, is also having all of these issues. They're letting 30,000 fans in there, and the protocols for the players, they can't have more than, normally you will travel with your family will stay with you, you'll stay with other golfers, you'll stay with the caddies and everybody, because it's so expensive to go and get your own place and all this. The rules that they put upon, And yet they're going to let 30,000 people a day into the event. But if you're on a plane on your way to the Open Championship and someone on the plane tests positive and you're anywhere in the vicinity, you're out of the tournament. What?
Well,
what?
It's one row up, one row side, parallel row. And parallel row in front, I believe, depending on where you're sitting. I've seen how this works. When we had this happen with
A&M?
Yeah, with Texas A&M. I heard about how it worked when it was with Texas A&M.
It's real.
So a commercial ridiculous. Flight?
Pardon me?
So just a commercial?
A commercial flight.
So how are they going to figure
I
out?
I have no idea.
How are they going to know if someone tests positive
no
on that
idea.
Flight?
No idea.
That's why I'm just saying.
But this is one of the rules. If anybody tests positive on that plane and you're in their vicinity, you're out of the tournament.
Because you're going overseas and they just opened up to...
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, they're much more strict.
But
you understand.
There's no masks for the fans. That's why it's so crazy. And, you know, there's a lot of closeness to the fans. I don't know how they're going to keep them away from the players, but there's always walking by and you're high-fiving and whatnot. And you're letting all of these fans in, unvaccinated, unmasked, and players cannot have more than four people wherever they're staying. Otherwise, they're eliminated from the tournament if they found to have more than four people where they're staying. It's just so the illogical decisions that are made about this thing.
Well, it's illogical because money is playing a huge factor. Like the Open Championship they say, hey, we can only control the players, but hey, we still want to sell tickets. The money has made their decisions illogical.
That's right. No, okay, if you're so worried, then don't let anybody in there.
We're slightly worried.
No, we're a little worried, but not when it comes to money.
Yeah, money trumps all.
Right.
I don't know if you know, there's a song, Cream, what is it, Cash? What is it,
Lance? Cash rules everything around me.
That's what leagues are operating like.
F everything else, win with money.
And by win,
so right now, in England,
the box office.
Just in England, but I will say, England had a really bad run, and I got a different perspective. When I went up to Boston, and everyone's wearing masks outside. Me and Nicole are like, what is going on? I mean, don't be stupid. And we go into a restaurant, and we're talking to the manager there. She was friends with Peter, who's a sous chef over at Rail. And he sent us in a little donkey, and we were talking about it. I said, it's kind of weird for us to see everyone with masks outside. She goes, you got to remember, she said, it was just a week ago that the mandate outside masks was where you didn't have to wear one outside. I said, really? It was a week ago? And this is in May. And she said, yeah. And I said, that's insane to me. If you follow the science, they say outdoors. She goes, no, I totally get it. She said, you just have to remember, here, we got hit really hard here in the Boston area. Like Boston, New York got hit hard, hospitalizations, all this stuff. Because they're also a mass transit city, too, where we're not. But so it made me start thinking, okay, yeah, England got hit a certain way, but they're 80% of their adult population have at least one vaccine dose. 80% in England. It's higher than we are here. And England's 80%, and they're still shutting. Wait, you're arguing against people going.
Yeah, they're having 30,000 fans in the stands, and they're worried about the players.
You want to keep fans out of the stands.
Yes, but if it's so dangerous with all these players, with all these rules, do you want
to take Jim Crane's money away, too, and not let people in his stands?
No, I want to take them away. Okay, Jim Crane ain't telling anybody to do anything. You know what they're doing? Telling them, okay, you can't have your family here. You can't fly to the game with your family.
That's kind of a positive.
That's a blessing.
Not to golfers.
Here's what.
You know what? Outstanding young men that just want their families.
Here's what John Rahm is saying.
That have morals and
John Rahm is saying this right now to John.
Life shut up.
I already have my family in one thing, right? The baby's crying all the time.
Oh, yeah, and won it.
My wife was trying to show out on TV and get flashy.
And won a U.S. Open.
You know what? He'd like to win it. He'd like to win a British Open without all the hubbub.
Is there a nickname for women who travel to golf courses and do stuff with the golf course?
Yeah, wives.
No, not that.
Yeah.
I'm not looking for that.
Not Baseball Annie.
Yeah.
Baseball Annie was the, right?
Groupies?
What's golf? Yeah,
golf? There's golf groupies.
Yeah, so is there a name or are they just called groupies?
No. Oh, no, they're groupies.
I got a name they should go with, but I can't say it on the air.
All right, we're taking a break. 746 ESPN, 97.5. Don't go anywhere.
Golf.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Last night, the Bucks came back. They were trailing, man, early on. The Hawks came out smoking, and it was 20-8 to start the game.
And Chris Middleton happened.
And Chris Middleton. Quarter. So Kendrick Perkins tweeted out last night,
anyone right now where I legitimately don't.
Keyshawn is worse. No, Keyshawn's worse.
Okay, if you listen to the things Perk says.
Yeah.
You listen to him, and his delivery is not what you're used to on TV, like, ever.
That's Beaumont there, brother.
No, I'm not saying it's not.
Yeah.
But you just don't usually see that in a position of analyst on a major sports network.
He does sound like he has to blow his nose
some of his ideas that he has when he talks or tweets. He's probably the most improbable expert analyst I've ever seen in sports on television.
You know, Cosell was that too. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, he was, really was, but that he's voice more, that, he, Cosell was more of like a columnist who was on television.
Isn't like Kirkshin the way he, I mean.
Right. No, that's actually a good one.
Yeah.
The guy who's this tall.
Yeah.
Like, well, basically what we have here is the spin rate is in.
John Clayton.
Yeah, Cotto's pretty good ones. Well, he's an insider. He was an insider.
Yeah, but
he wasn't like an analyst. Analyst of breaking things down. Yeah. But Kirkchin is also in that gray area where he's more insider. Also, he's not breaking down baseball.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, but we've had some.
That's a pretty Kirkchin's about as I think as close as you can come. Okay, former athlete, is it as bad as you've seen? Or is not, I shouldn't say bad, improbable. Because he says some wild stuff, too. You're getting ready to say something wild.
No, what?
Well, read what he says.
Oh, he says that Chris Middleton is the Batman and Giannis is the Robin.
I mean, that's ridiculous.
Yeah.
It's just, go look at what Robin's timeline, go look at his game line. Every game he shows up, it's Middleton. Now, I do agree that the team goes how Middleton goes, but that doesn't make him the Batman. Yeah. That just means that he doesn't do his job all the time.
Right.
Go look at Giannis. You can't see a game where Giannis hadn't hit busting 30 and 12. It doesn't exist.
Well, he also had a Batman and Robin earlier in these playoffs that was like, really? I don't think he – I forget if he –
I think he just throws that out a lot.
Yeah, he loves the Batman and Robin thing. Oh, it's that – I thought it was, he said it wasn't Paul George who was the, he wasn't even, Paul George wasn't even Robin. Who did he say it was?
He said Reggie Jackson.
Yeah, Reggie Jackson was Robin. Oh,
that's a good stuff right there.
See,
that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Perk says things like that. I mean, he just says things off the top. That's straight barbershop talk. Where you just say things off the top and you don't really, and then you can walk it back because it doesn't matter. You don't even have to walk it back. It doesn't matter. You can just say things. Like, if you look at, legitimately, Giannis, what Giannis is doing in the playoffs right now, from a standpoint of just every single game, game in, game out, 30, working backwards, 33 points, 25, 34, 40, 30, 34, 34, 33, 18, 34, 20, 17, 31, 26. But since that Brooklyn, let's see, got past Miami, since Brooklyn game two, he's been 30 points or more in every game except 25, which was a blowout. Which was a blowout win that they were winning by almost 40 at one point. So he didn't play as many minutes. He only played 29 minutes that game and he scored 25 points. Are you out of your mind saying that? Total rebounds 11, 9, 12, 13, 17, 12, 12, 14, 11, 11.
It is
12,
funny though.
17,
how
13,
Middleton
18.
Goes, the only games they lose is when true. Middleton sucks.
It's literally lined up perfectly. If Middleton has 6 baskets or 7 baskets, it's going to be 6 to 23 or 7 to 24 every single time, and they lose.
Yep.
And when he plays well, they win. Yesterday, he played well in the fourth quarter.
So does that make
won.
Him? Because as he goes, they go.
I don't think it makes him the Batman.
Giannis is just. I'm scoring 30 every game.
I think it means that Middleton needs. I think it means that Giannis is not maybe a classic put the team on his back player, and they are built like a 1A and 1B.
Well, here's a big problem.
But the Batman
his
Robin
free
thing
throw
doesn't.
Shooting thing, where
did Robin
he has
crime?
Limited touches at the end of games because they're going to follow him.
Although he was making them yesterday, he did a good job of concentrating. Does Robin fight crime?
Yeah, Robin fights.
Does Robin crime. Ride in the Batmobile?
Yeah, but as the passenger.
He also got killed by the Joker.
Well, you know, at one some of the point, Robins. Middleton's going to get
multiple,
whacked.
The thing is, there are multiple Robins.
Giannis just killed every year in the playoffs.
The thing is, yeah, it's true, but Robin is usually failing alongside him. That's why he dies. There have been multiple
he's
Robins.
A nerd.
Oh, okay. There have been multiple Robins, though, Lance, so Giannis might need another Robin coming up here. Maybe Drew Holiday's Robin in the next game. Giannis is always Batman, though.
Giannis is always Batman. Yeah, that's true. He's always Batman.
Yeah, Perk just throws stuff out.
Perk says things that I can't believe.
It's a hot take.
That's what I'm saying. It's so hot that I can't believe he's on in an expert role and on so many shows. They put him on so many radio shows. And then
did he walk it back when Paul George advanced him in the playoffs without Kawhi?
No.
Did he walk it back? Then he was like, man, I'll tell you what, that Paul George, he is something. What?
Perk? Hey, I give the Clippers.
You just said he's not even Robin.
I give
he's
the Clippers
Alfred
a lot
the Butler.
Of, the Clippers are doing a good job without Kawhi Leonard.
See,
the
I, fact had that a, I know who Alfred the Butler is.
Yeah, the fact that they advanced was really, really good. It was certainly unexpected. And they've hung in pretty well with the Suns. But when Ayton has a game, they can't win. When Ayton plays well, I don't think the Clippers can win because it's just too much. Well, you have too many guys.
The whole game was too much. Everybody on that court sucked. Everybody sucked. That was just awful. That was the worst shooting game, one of the worst shooting games ever.
Ayton had 19, 22, and 4. Ayton didn't suck.
But yeah.
Ayton had a strong game.
Yeah, well, but they scored 84 points.
Well, I get that. They won, too.
Mm-hmm. No, that was 1995 basketball right there.
Well, the score looked like that, but they were defending. The Suns actually defended some. And the Clippers, it's just a slower pace at home.
Mm.
When the Clippers play there, when they go back to Phoenix in the next one, Phoenix is going to avalanche them. And just like I told you, it'd be a blowout for Milwaukee. I tried to give people free money here the other day. Blowout. I'm telling you now, it's going to be, I had Milwaukee yesterday, and I've got a little heater going. And it's going to be, you just get a feel for the playoffs. The Clippers are done. They're officially done. I haven't seen what the number is, but they better make the Suns at least a 6.5-point favorite to 7.5-point favorite. Because they're going to blister the Clips. And I think it'll get out of control by the fourth quarter. It'll be in the 20s, I think.
Yeah. All right. 713-780-3776-757. ESPN 97.5. 713-780-3776. So you think that the Clips are underdogs? They're underdogs is what you're saying.
Yes, I know they are, and actually it's 5.5. Sweet dreams.
Mm-hmm.
Underdog Fantasy, I played this weekend. I won on Friday. No, I won on my Saturday because it's a two-game playoffs. And then yesterday I lost from one of the ones that was left over from my two-day, the second game of my two-day fantasy. You know, I'm playing, they've got basketball tied up with baseball where you can pick your teams. There's actual real drafts. It's a lot of fun because if you're like me and you love the concept of the draft and not just picking players that have values on them where everyone has similar or the same teams or similar teams. This is one where actual drafts jump off and you get to change your cue of how you want people drafted. You can turn it on autopilot or you can just draft it yourself. I've done both and I've won with both. And head-to-head tournaments, three-man tournaments. You can get into the big tournaments that have multiple players that are playing. You can play head-to-head battles where you're picking over-under on points scored or rebounds or points, rebounds, assists. And you can, as long as you do more than one player, you got a chance to win almost like a parlay, exactly like it, where you can win additional winnings, where it's multipliers, basically. They have head-to-head. They have rivalry. They have the big tournaments like Big Ball Mania 2, which is you can sign up for right now. It's a football tournament with 3.5 million in prizes, and all you have to do is register $25. How do you get that? Glad you asked. When you use my promo code radio, when you sign up and make your first deposit, use radio. They're going to give you $25 cash bonus absolutely free, and then use that to get into that Big Ball Mania tournament and give yourself a chance at the 3.5 million worth of prizes. Underdogfantasy.com terms and conditions apply. Underdogfantasy.com. Use promo code radio.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports.